big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
A little bit of a quick sound check. You go, John.
You never fucking know.
You certainly don't. But it...
Yeah.
Wait for it.
You know who he sounds like?
You see, John, that was a man called Gene Simmons singing a song for his band Kiss.
See, this is a follow-on from the last podcast where we...
Well, it must have been bothering readers like it bothered me.
Dispute, and I never said that Gene didn't... I mean, go and listen to it. I didn't say Gene never sings in Kiss.
You said he's never, ever sung.
I said Paul Stanley is the singer in Kiss.
No more tomorrows, John.
You know who he sounds, or rather who sounds like him? Blackie Lawless.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? That even sounds a bit like Wasp.
It does a bit, yeah.
But are you sure it isn't Wasp? Hang on, let me just check.
That's very Blackie. Yeah. I like pictures of naked ladies lying on the bed.
Is that a lyric?
Yeah, that's like a beast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you say I like naked lady or pictures of naked lady?
I like pictures of naked ladies lying on the bed.
See, that's very telling, isn't it? That's very telling,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Gene's
not looking at the pictures.
No.
Gene's looking at the real thing.
Yeah.
Blackie's looking at the pictures. Their voices are the same. That's the difference.
One came first, and that was Gene.
Yeah.
Gene, the singer of Kiss.
And one came alone, if you take my meaning.
So I'm glad we sorted that out, John.
We sorted that out.
Now agree with me.
Oh, yes. The whole world agrees with you. Don't worry.
Absolutely. Right, so we left it, though, on a tantalising note.
We did, because the whole discussion last time was a thread about singers who were hated by their bands. I mean, essentially, you could almost pick
every singer you could ever think. There are some exceptional examples.
Singers who are beloved by their bands.
Yeah. What's his name?
Oh,
can you think of one?
James Hetfield, maybe. Stars loves him.
We all love James.
Yes.
Yeah. What's not to love?
Exactly.
But we end it on a tantalising. You teed up a story. You said you're going to save
the teaser. I was the Barnsley big teaser. Biff Byford. Everyone likes Biff Byford.
That wasn't what you were going to
say. No, I wasn't. I was just saying, you said teaser, and I thought Barnsley big teaser, which is Biff Byford's nickname.
Are you saying
the Barnsley big teaser?
That's his nickname. Since when?
Since forever.
The
Barnsley Big Teaser. Biff Byford.
The Barnsley Big Teaser. I've never... You see, you're making this
I'm
up.
Not.
You're rewriting precious metal history.
I'm not.
Can any Saxon fans out there confirm what our resident input has said about Biff Byford, who is... I don't even know why you're making fun. I mean, he is one of the premier British vocalists. He
probably is beloved of his band.
Well, I love him.
Yeah.
Let's get this straight. Do you love Biff?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, they're great. Cracking Saxon. I like a bit of Saxon.
Yeah, me too.
Strangers in the night, somewhere on separate flights.
You know, my favourite one was, though...
Wheels of Steel.
No, it's early days. Stallions of the Highway.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
Because that they did a they did like an independent album.
Yeah.
And in my PR days, I don't know why it never happened, but we were talking to their management, or maybe their label, I don't know, about doing the PR for Saxon. This is, must be 1980. And that grumbling is Coco, by the way. It's not John, for a change. And they had this independently released thing on some weird label. And that was the standout track. I love it. On the basis of that, I was like, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm in.
This band, yeah.
Stallions of the Highway.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
It's a great track, isn't it?
I don't disagree with you, yeah.
Did they ever do a proper recording of it on their first album or anything
They
like
probably
that?
Did. They probably did. Biff was also the subject of the greatest picture in the Kerrang photo library.
Was that the one with the big wang?
No. Sorry. That was your photo library. This one was a picture of Biff. He was at home at the time.
Oh, right.
And
having a cup of tea.
Yeah, he was having a cup of tea because he was a famous tea drinker. He was outside on his front driveway holding a cup of tea.
Of course.
While Mrs. Byford was washing the car with a broken arm.
I remember that.
Do you remember it?
What a guy.
A classic
fucking
photo.
Fucking love Biff, man.
Biff's just there with his cup of tea going, Go on, love, you missed a bit on the back there.
Yeah, can you hurry up? I need to be cracking on in a minute.
I want the tea because I've got to get out. Yeah,
as soon as I finish this tea, I'm in that car.
Pub.
Isn't he famously teetotal?
I think he might be. He's a massive tea drinker. I don't know if he drinks alcohol. I don't know.
No, I think that's hence the massive tea drinker.
Yeah.
Because I've often heard him, because he was always known as a massive tea drinker, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was, yeah.
I'll tell you another funny one. You're saying about... I've forgotten it.
Yes, it's gone. I'll move on, shall I?
Yeah, you move on. Yeah.
But what the teaser that we set up was not the Barnsley Big teaser. It was about Don Henley, another singer who his bandmates just worship the ground. Oh, is Don here yet? I can't wait to talk to him today.
Especially Bernie...
Ledden.
Yeah,
he loves him.
Bernie. He loves him.
Yeah, and, he loves him. Especially... And the guy who came up with the Hotel California.
Don Felder.
He loves him.
Loves him. And don't forget Randy Meisner.
Yeah. Oh, loves him.
Loves him. Yeah. Follows him around in a wheelchair with a gun. Yeah. Goes off by itself and is remarkably accurate and go around fucking corners.
Yeah, they all love the Don.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
because he's very lovable.
He's very lovable. And of course, we all know that the Eagles, whatever version of the Eagles it is at the moment, have been on tour.
It's Don.
Have been on tour for some considerable while.
Oh, yeah.
And might even, are they even coming back here in the summer or something?
Maybe they are. They're now on their official farewell
tour. Yeah,
their
farewell tour.
I thought that was like 30 years ago, but I guess we're still going.
It's still going, yeah. It's still going.
I wonder if there'll ever be an Eagles experience.
Well, you do wonder, yeah.
Because you could go, if they had like a Kiss ABBA style Eagles show, it wouldn't matter what they look like because no one fucking knows.
Yeah, well, they know what the Don looks like.
Do they, though?
Yeah, they
I never knew what any of them looked like back in the day.
Yeah. Well, the Don looked cool. He had the big fuzz of hair, didn't he?
Yeah, but he'd be on
great.
The drums. And you'd be going, why is the drummer singing the fucking song? That's not cool.
Yeah, but he had a great voice. I mean, killer voice.
If you closed your eyes, he was beautiful. But live, big fucking ratty beard with soup in it and cocaine and fucking... You know, permed hair.
Yeah.
He thought he was a, people don't know this, he was a huge Kevin Keegan fan.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had the hair.
Had the perm, yeah.
Keegan was only sorry he couldn't
sing
have
like the
beard.
Dog. Yeah.
Oh no, Kevin could sing. Don't you remember Kevin Keegan had a pop
career?
Oh,
he did, didn't he? Yeah, he did. Yeah.
It ain't easy. It ain't easy.
You know what he should have done? I'll tell you what he should have done. Long-haired lover from Liverpool. That would have been amazing. Kevin Keegan.
There's still time.
There is. He could come back with that, couldn't he? Yeah.
Maybe. Who's long-haired in Liverpool now in the team?
Oh,
anybody with long hair?
They've got the guy up front, the one who, the South American guy, has his hair in a bun.
Oh, yeah, what's his name? Darwin Núñez.
Núñez, that's it, yeah.
He should do...
He could do long
this hair. This long-haired lover from Liverpool.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, Salah's... Actually, Salah's got hair like Don Henley.
Salas is starting to look like Gene Simmons in 1974, to be fair.
Bit, yeah.
He's got that widow's peak.
Yeah.
He's trying to grow the unicorn horn.
Yeah.
You can get a piece for that now.
He could.
Mo.
Yeah.
You know?
He should do.
Absolutely. So back to Don Henley, the most beloved singer.
Beloved
of all.
Singer. So there's a. I found by chance on YouTube, there's a guy who's obviously a sound. He runs some kind of sound engineers YouTube channel that's probably incredibly popular with sound engineers.
You know? Oh, God. How boring must that be?
Well, you would think,
it's
wouldn't
like
you?
Saying taxi drivers.
Exactly. You would think. But it caught my eye because.
Of course
he,
it did.
Because
it caught your ear.
Yeah, he'd been sent. Audio from the never-ending Eagles tour,
right?
Of Don Henley singing Desperado.
Desperado.
It was
I think you.
that's the one. Yeah. In 2023 and in 2024, from two entirely separate shows, and the people that sent him said, "You know what? It's strange, but it's." Both versions of this song sound incredibly similar. It's almost like they're on tape.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I'll let you into a secret.
So the sound engineer, well, he's not like you, Mick. He's not a cynic. He's not the kind of guy who would go, oh, the Cure's is on tape. You know, they all do that.
No, not tape. Laptop. That's what it's on. Drive. It's on drive.
Drive.
Probably his phone in his back pocket.
Yeah, probably, yeah. So the sound engineer is not the kind of guy who's going to take you at your word on that matter.
No, he's a purist.
He's a sound guy. He's a sound guy. He's an evidence-based guy. So what he did was he was in his sound studio, his sound around.
Not as good as my studio.
Not as good. It's nowhere near the quality of yours.
No, I mean, I'm leaning in a more organic direction these days.
Yeah, whereas he was a more kind of nice recording of sound direction.
Yeah, that's so passé.
It is a bit, yeah. So he starts off this very long YouTube channel blog on himself singing Desperado as an example. So he just sings
the sound engineer.
Yeah, so he sings the first line of Desperado. Right. So just Desperado, why don't you come to your senses?
It was like Glenn and Don.
You're
channeling
Glenn. Unlike us, he sings it not once but twice, right. and he's recording both versions. And to the human ear, they sound absolutely identical.
But were it me or you, especially me?
He sung it one after the other in the same studio, with the same equipment, same time, in the same voice. He's not tried to alter his voice or anything like that. And he shows you then the sound waves on the screen. And he goes, though to your ear, these are exactly the same. You can see from the sound waves, actually, I've done this differently and that different. And it's true, it was different. So he goes, now we come to the two examples of the Don singing Desperado.
Sure. You're not going to say they were the same.
Well, first of all, you have to say they've just recorded by the punters, you know, because you know everyone at gigs these days, no one watches the gig. You stand there with your phone recording the gig.
Yeah, it's like you're standing there recording a recording. Yeah.
So you can go home and go, oh, look, here's me at the gig. You know,
and all your mates go, I don't care, mate.
I don't care.
Fuck off.
Watch a whole
hour
and a half on
boring
your
old
phone.
My kids are like, look, here's Billie Eilish. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've got another 12 numbers.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Don't care. Yeah. But so he takes the two versions of Desperado. He has to clean them up because obviously there's ambient noise.
You do, well, as a sound guy, I'm all about the cleaning.
But then he starts showing you the sound waves.
And they're identical.
Yeah. And yeah, you'll be astonished to know. Not only are they identical, but it's where the some of them, you know, because of the ambient noise or the crowd or someone shout or the position of the person that's recording it, one bit will drop out, so you get no line. But then when you put the other one over the top of it, you get the perfect line.
Right. Fits so, like a glove.
Yeah, so he ends up being able to say that unless the Don is become so good at singing Desperado
live at the age of 75 or whatever he is,
he sings it absolutely identically every time. Or maybe the Don, you know, as you say, it's maybe he's miming it.
Drive.
Yeah. Maybe the Don. Maybe the Don's just going.
I think he is.
Yeah.
Well, he's 75, 76. He's probably going Desperado.
Yeah.
When will you?
And he's probably like, probably at the stage that we, you know, we oh, do I really have to sing all of it? Can't I just sing the first bit and then we'll play the tape? You know, do you know how many times I've sung Desperado? You know,
back in 2018, which is now like saying before the war, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
When I was working with Neil Schon on his proposed memoir, I don't know if I've ever mentioned that.
Only a podcast ago it was mentioned.
We were having lunch and talking about technology because they were touring with Def Leppard, and he was laughing at how much technology Def Leppard used, because that's not a little bit, you know, that's... Yeah.
But with Def Leppard, I would expect... I mean, well, they're exactly. known for no, well, the purity.
Well, that's where the conversation went. So yeah. I'm like, yeah, but it's Def Leppard. I mean, all their records were built in the laboratory as well. Is yeah. there any live playing on that, you know? And he said, he goes, yeah, that's true. He said, but honestly, everybody uses it now. And I went, well, even you? And he went, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I went, oh. I said, what, no exceptions? He said, well, no, not if you're doing, you know, arenas and you want to compete with everybody. Because if you don't use it, they just go, well, you sounded fucking awful.
Yeah.
And I said, it just shows you 6 years ago I could still be quite innocent.
Mm.
You know. I said, yeah, but then you've got those bands that really can sing, like the Eagles. And I was thinking of the time I saw them probably in the early... On that Hell Freezes Over.
Yeah, 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 when they all sat in a line.
And they did the... were you at that show in London? Yeah,
and they all sat in a line and they just did... Oh, they might have even done... what was the Henley solo song? It's a really good song. Heart of the Matter.
Oh, yeah, really?
I'm trying to get down to the heart of the matter. And they're yeah, all... No. And it was just... Yeah. Wow.
I don't remember what the song was, but I do remember having a pretty terrible seat and being... And going, fuck me. Like, they, you know, no production at this point, as far as you know,
yeah.
no production, just geezers with guitars, acoustic. Yeah. You thought, yeah, talent. You know, at the end of the day, yeah. that's fucking talent, yeah. you know. And he went, nope, even the Eagles. I went, oh, fuck off, not the, like, no, no, not the Eagles. He went, but oh, yeah. Like, he said, look, they're in their 70s. How do you expect them to still sound that good?
Yeah.
Plus, they're all gone now. Glenn's gone, Bernie's gone, yeah, Randy's
exactly.
gone.
Yeah, you never. And the thing is, no one's. It's like that. Actually, what that sound engineer guy said was what he thought was probably done is Henley would have sung it in a production rehearsal or something like that. So it's a live vocal. It's not. They're not playing the studio version.
No,
of
no,
the
no.
song.
He wouldn't do that.
It's a live vocal that he's sung,
yeah.
and then they're just using that every night.
Or sometimes, not with Don, I guess, because you know, he's pretty old, but the younger singers, it's just a bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, no one's ever going to say Don Henley can't sing. You know, he's like one of the great voices.
He's definitely not one of the great drummers, is he?
So I don't know. I don't know what his drumming's like. It's all right, isn't it? I mean, how good do you have to be in the Eagles? It's like, oh, we run down the road trying to loosen my load, got a word. I could do that.
Could you?
Yeah.
Go on then.
I just did it.
That was it.
And I sung it as well.
Hang on. And you got a beard.
You
are you
can't
hide you're dead. Are you the.
Your lying eyes.
If I close my eyes.
And your smile. See,
yeah,
I could do it. I could
yeah,
do it.
It's true.
It's another
can.
Tequila song.
Yeah, you're making the levels spike.
Should I do Tequila Sunrise?
No. Definitely not. Or I will put Gene Simmons back on.
Okay, I've stopped.
In fact, listen to this.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Someone keeps ringing me. Do you know who it is? It's quite funny. It's someone from GB News.
God, someone's died. Rock has died.
It must be, yeah.
While we're recording. Here we go.
Now you're talking.
That's
how you sing, mate.
Yeah.
Just to the chorus.
Don't give a shit. Sorry for the language.
Wind in my hair. Ah, come on. They don't fucking make them like that anymore.
And Biff's voice has always had that sort of particularly penetrating quality, hasn't it?
It really does penetrate. Like, that is the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. So that was your Don Henley story.
Barsley big teaser.
So what you're saying, John, is he's miming.
I'm not saying that.
I think that's
the
what you're saying.
The sound engineer was saying that. I'm not. I wouldn't say that. And even if I did say that, which I wouldn't say, he still sung it in the first place.
What, in 1993?
Yeah. So what?
Was that when they did
so
it?
So what? It doesn't matter. He still sang it. It's like saying, you know, oh, so-and-so painted the, you know, Mona Lisa in 1560 or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's still the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, but you don't go. Yeah, but if he was selling,
go and look at the money. Go, oh fuck! I'm not looking.
If
at
he
that.
Was
it's
selling,
not being painted.
Yeah, but that's
he's
like buying the record. That's buying the record. If you go and see him live, if you pay a ticket Wembley Arena to watch him paint the Mona Lisa, you want to see it.
I just
live.
Want to see the. I just want to be in the same room as the.
Well,
band.
Don mimes the. Song. Yeah, yeah,
and in his in. Also, I want him to be in a kind of semi-bad mood, which he probably is.
Has he ever been in any other kind of mood? He's got semi-bad and pissed off.
And he's just thinking, how much longer is this going to last, this set?
Do you know, that's exactly what I was thinking when I went to see them.
Yeah, how much longer is this going to last?
Yeah, it's so boring.
Yeah,
honest
can you just
God.
Get it? See, whereas when I went to see the Illegal Eagles... Who were great.
Who are in your local pub?
Yeah, who were, no, they were at the... Well, they were at G Live, the local sort of venue.
Hang on, G Live?
Yeah, it was the old Guildford Civic Hall. But
G Live.
It got knocked down and rebuilt as G Live.
Oh. Yeah. On Mondays, on Tuesdays, the Coach and Horses.
Yeah. I saw the Illegal Eagles there.
And what were they like?
They were terrific. And there's none of this, we're not going to play, you know, whatever, because... Randy Meisner wrote that one, so we're not playing Hotel California.
Take it
is.
To like, the limit.
We're playing all the songs. We're playing all the hits in order.
But you know the world we live in now. You know, because you filled my innocent heart with poison.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if the Illegal Eagles use a bit of tech.
Oh, probably, but they were really good singers.
Especially if they're doing Randy and all the others.
But also, if you go and see the Eagles, you know, and a tribute band Eagles, of which there are many, they're going to stand or fall by how good their Don is. Because if their Don's no good, they're not going to be any good.
True. But you know, this ABBA experience thing, I went to...
Which we weren't talking about.
Because of Kiss and Eagles and... me and my wife went to a Christmas works do of hers, going back 25 years or something. And they had a ABBA tribute band. And it was better than the real thing.
Yeah.
Because they were them when they were young. Yeah. And they did all the hits.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Illegal Eagles, they're like in their 40s or whatever. You know, they're not in their 70s. Yeah.
Babies.
Yeah.
Could you see the Eagles, though, putting out, you know, a lookalike band?
A lookalike band?
You know, like Kiss.
Oh, I see what you mean. Actually, not telling you that it's not Don Henley.
I honestly don't think people would know. Four whiskery old LA grizzly, miserable bastards in jeans.
Yeah.
You know, what do they sing? I mean, what do they say? Best in man. So, John, back to our ongoing
list.
Fascinating series.
Yes.
Singers hated by their own bands.
Yeah.
Next on the list, Bruce Dickinson.
I mean, I do agree with that. I think we have
we've overdone Bruce.
We've covered that. Well, we've covered the ground of the, you know,
true,
gets to the point where Steve Harris refuses to sit next to him.
Yeah, no, we've done all that. We've done all that. Yeah, I was berated by certain readers who,
well, rightly so.
Okay. And we've done Gene Simmons. Here's one. Here's a good one. Steve Perry.
Yes, yeah.
He was hated.
But you see, Perry's, to me, Perry's like a kind of extraordinary racehorse. You know, it's like a very highly strung.
Huge cock. Is that what you're saying? You heard it here first.
Not at all.
John exclusively reveals that Steve Perry is like a racehorse with an enormous cock. What made you say that, John?
Well, because, you know, when you get it, they're kind of temperamental, but on their day, they're brilliant.
You mean depending on whether their cock is waving
around? Yeah, and like on the race day when they're the favourite, they're sort of, they could win
temperamental.
They could win by 10 lengths, or they could refuse to come out of the stalls.
That's him.
That's Perry. You know, that he's like a highly strung racehorse.
A thoroughbred.
But with an extraordinary voice. I mean, you know, going on about tapes and what have you.
Hang on. So he's a horse.
Yeah.
With a large cock and an extraordinary voice. It's quite temperamental.
Which is why people used to like to go and see Journey, because you would see something you'd never seen before.
Yeah.
But I mean, it, in all seriousness, on that, you know, the escape, we'll call it the escape era, you know, the
post-Greg Rolie.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, once they have the big breakthrough with Escape, and then they do Frontiers and then Raised on Radio, that's when Perry's at his absolute peak as a vocalist.
Apex.
Yeah.
And his pinnacle.
You see those live films, and you know, although you know we now know, you might be astonished to hear, but we now know in retrospect, cocaine was taken around the time of those performances,
and possibly a small sherry.
Yeah, I mean, possibly among certain members, but I mean, talk about being on point. Mm. You know, Perry sings the shit out of that stuff, and it's not easy to sing night after night. But he's astonishing. But over the course of this tour, you know, these endless tours that they had to do, and him, you know, as I'm sure Sean recognises, if you're the guitarist, right, if something goes wrong with your guitar, you just get another guitar.
That's
it's
right.
not a big problem.
You take your boot, put it in a roadie's arse.
Yeah, and he gives you another one that's working.
Yeah.
Something goes wrong with your voice, well, that, but in the days before tapes, you were fucked.
You were.
You know, there wasn't a show.
Yeah.
So Perry had this great pressure of being, you know.
But they all rock vocalists had that, though, didn't they?
They did. But I mean, Journey especially. I mean, you know, if you were, for argument's sake, I don't know, Biff Byford, you could sort of cover it up for a show or two that you weren't even. And all singers have those tricks where, you know, they'll put the mic out to the punters or whatever to sing a bit because you're just trying to save your voice.
Yeah.
For a little bit, and Perry, I'm sure, did that. But I mean, in a band that was so reliant on him, I think, you know, I can see why he became a bit of a handful, as it were.
That's a fair point, but I don't think it was the voice that sent them insane. Greg Rolie told me that, you know, I'm not saying he left because of Steve Perry, but it certainly contributed.
Yeah.
Because Steve had stayed at Greg's house when he first joined the band. He was like his lodger, you know, kid from nowhere. He's from Santana. I'll show you how it goes, mate. And also he's the singer. And then shortly afterwards, Steve moved out of Greg's and moved into Neil Sean's place.
Right.
And that was when they wrote quite a few great songs together. I'm not going to put words in Greg's mouth, but my memory of him telling me about this was very much that Steve took over the band. It wasn't just the voice.
Yeah.
It was that
Well, Perry
Fish meets Axel meets David Lee
Perry
Roth.
Perry is a famously obsessive sound guy, talking of sound guys.
And as a fellow obsessive of the sonic architecture, I can relate.
I mean, it was Perry that told me that there used to be, at one recording studio, they actually had a car. Oh, no, it was not a recording studio, a cutting plant, you know, where they would cut the vinyl.
Cut the record,
They had a car that you would put the tape into and play it on the car radio to hear what it sounded like.
Really?
Because that would, because that was how everyone
would hear it. Yeah.
You'd hear it on the radio or on a tape in a car, and it had to sound
like good on that.
Good on that. And once it sounded good on that, you cut. That's when you cut your album.
Do you know, famously, Nicky Chinn and Mike Chapman, when they were writing and producing all those hits for Sweet, Susie Quattro, loads of others. Push that close. They used to have little speakers in the studio that they'd finished doing all the what they need to do.
Yeah.
And then they go, right, we need to hear it on the little.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. It's the same thing. It's like, how is this going to sound?
Yeah, on the radio, because that's how most people are going to hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But Steve, you know, I mean, when they did the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Steve had his own dressing room and he wouldn't come out. And Neil told me that, you know, he even went down to the dressing room, had to say to the guy on the door, can you tell him at least it's Neil? And they went, it's Neil, you want to come in? And it was like, he'd come back in a minute, you know. He just.
But I have to say, Steve Perry, of all the rock stars, whatever you want to call them, that I've interviewed, Perry is the only one I've ever seen, ever interviewed, who I would say genuinely was suffering from a severe lack of self-confidence.
Mm.
And he wasn't putting it on. It wasn't, you know, it was, you know, I genuinely don't know.
I wonder how many of them get that, because I think with Steve, you know, his voice had started, the register had dropped.
Yeah,
he'd put on weight.
Yeah.
He'd cut his hair because, you know, a man in his 40s doesn't necessarily want to walk around all day with hair down his arse. He had a fabulous, from what I'm told, fabulous place where he lives. But even as recently as when I was working with Neil, so 5-6 years ago, he still, his car was a VW Bug.
Yeah, yeah.
And he still had the little plastic flower in the front as well.
Yeah, because he's not, you know, and he was quite a sort of, you know, he was a very emotional guy, quite a lonely type person. You know, he'd had a couple of failed relationships and stuff. And, I mean, he was not.
But that isn't why they hated him.
No.
They hated him earlier than that.
Yeah, 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 oh, absolutely. And I'm sure.
Because it became his band.
Yeah, and for that. And also, I mean, you look at them. Oh, and we've talked about them quite often on here. You know, Sean, Kane. They've both got their, you know, shall we say, quirks. Yeah. You know, Neil Sean with the armed guard.
Yeah.
Jonathan Kane with the wife who's Donald Trump's spiritual advisor.
Can you imagine being spiritual advisor to Satan?
Yeah. Yeah. No, Don's not Satan.
Oh, no, sorry,
He's just put out his own Bible.
but it's the satanic Bible,
his own version of the Bible.
The satanic verses.
Yeah. Yeah, don't bother with the classic version. Get the Trump version. It's better.
Yeah, right. Final one for now.
Yeah.
On rock stars hated by their own bands. Sebastian Bach.
Oh, right, yeah.
To me, it's a travesty that goes even beyond Guns N' Roses, that Skid Row aren't back together with Sebastian Bach.
And
everybody would go.
Yeah, but they never will. They've just got a female singer, haven't they, Skid Row?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I saw it on the other day. Because whoever the Sebastian Bach replacement was left, and they've now got a female singer.
Is it because she's got really long hair and can do those high notes?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I don't
know. But why not get back together with him? I mean, I know he's a fucking handful, to say the least.
Yeah.
All the best singers are a fucking pain in the arse. You put him in his own thing and put a security guy on the door.
Because they would make some money, Skid Row.
Are you kidding?
Big band.
I'd go and see them.
Yeah. What was the
much monkey business?
Yeah. 18 and Life, that was theirs, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the huge
life,
one.
You've got it. 18 and life, you know.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that about?
Now, I like Monkey Business. Don't you remember that one? That was the first single.
I remember Danger Danger also had a song called Monkey Business.
Oh.
Ain't no business like Monkey Business.
Yeah, yeah. What were they called again, John? Danger Danger.
Danger Danger, Monkey Business. He doesn't say monkey, he says monkey. Ain't no business like Monkey Business.
Oh,
me and Paul Elliott were obsessed with that.
Why did he sing it in that way?
We have no... that exactly. Why did it... Ted Poley, he was the singer in Danger Danger.
Sorry, what was his name?
Ted Poley.
How did he not make it as an international singer? This is one of the best rock songs of the era. First single from the second Skid Row album. Big hit. Whole lot of trouble.
Is this their authentic version of the Mississippi Delta?
Oh, yeah. Because the boys are down.
Yeah. Down boys. No, that was Warrant, wasn't it? Where the down boys go. Oh, yeah. Ah.
And the voice.
Imagine having to do that every night.
Come out with it. Start with it.
Yeah.
Not at all Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
That was great.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he'd never heard Guns N' Roses.
No, not at all.
But they fucking hate him, John. Yeah, what has he done that's so unforgivable?
I don't know. I just don't know. He's done the one unforgivable thing, but I don't know what it is.
He definitely...
You know, the last time I saw Sebastian Beck, he was in... you ever watched Trailer Park Boys?
Yeah, he was in that.
He was in that, yeah.
Fantastic.
Canadian, yeah.
Oh, right. The first time I ever met him, I interviewed him, and we're in some hotel room. And he, you know, big, tall guy, he comes in, he sits down in the armchair, sort of bigger than the armchair, and he immediately starts spitting on the floor. And, like, throwing things around. He's like, yeah, man, yeah, I fucking told that.
That's disgusting.
And I'm going, ooh, don't do that to me.
No.
So I think maybe because...
Yeah, it's revolting, yeah.
And
I
then
wouldn't put up with that.
And then when they did Donington in like 91 or whatever it was, I don't know what I'd done. Or maybe it was someone else on Kerrang. That used to happen a lot and I'd get the blame for
it. Oh, yeah. So you say, yeah. It's like you tried to pin the Motley Crue thing on me.
That was you. You wrote the... by John Horton. And Sebastian comes up to me. I'm supposed to be interviewing him for Radio 1. And he's like, yeah, I need to talk to you. We need to talk. I'm like, oh, God. And he's like, he's got me around the head like that and it's pissing with rain. And he's like, yeah, I just want to say, you know, you misquoted me. And I said, Sebastian, I don't know what you're talking about. He then picked me up by the waist. So like, because he's really tall, strong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So here's my head. Here's my feet over there. He's like that, and he marches up the steps to the stage like that. And I'm having to pretend it's all brilliant fun.
Bringing his toy.
Yeah, yeah, like a dog with a bone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
Let go of me, you.
And then he went on stage, and he went,
too like much miqua business.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring back, seriously, what is holding them back? I mean, if Axl can get together...
Yeah.
Axel.
Maybe we should get Sebastian on the show. See if he wants to come and do the show.
I would love to have him at the live show.
Yeah. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it, Sebastian?
Because also, where he would sit is his own armchair.
He'd be spitting at both of us. Because we'd be on either side of him.
We'd be opposite. And I'd be wearing a Mac.
Yeah.
And you'd have a little brolly.
Yeah.
Your little fending
little
parasol.
Off the spit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just say to him, what is their fucking problem, Sebastian?
Yeah. And then sit back and wait.
Well, he gets both off the stage under his arms. Like
2 hours later, we'd just be coming to the end of what Skid Row's problem was.
Rachel Bolan, I know you're a regular listener to the pod.
Yeah.
We would also love to have you on.
But not as much as Sebastian.
Yeah, fuck's sake, man. Get him back in the band.
Yeah,
what's the problem?
Get him back.
And on that...
On that plea, that heartfelt plea.
Heartfelt?
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
By the way, this isn't us. This is us miming to drive.
Yeah, this is the studio.
Mm. By the way, this immense podcast was brought to you amongst many others. Good people on both sides.
We've been talking about sound. The reason we sound as good as we do
is because Beyer Dynamic microphones.
Because before we had the Beyer Dynamic microphones, we really did sound bad.
Well, bad is a relative term.
Relative term, but we did sound bad.
Like BAAD.
Bad.
People miss those days.
Yeah.
I miss the early days when you could hardly hear them or it's coming out of one channel.
Yeah.
Don't you, John?
Yeah.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
How do I stop this, Fern?